Lady gets baptized, it's good to reaffirm our faith in song. Amen? You guys go ahead and have a seat. Hey, if you're new in the last 3 weeks and you haven't seen me up here, my name is James. I'm on staff here. I've been on staff here for a little while. Special shout out, I know Cindy already did for the people online, but I think we have a crew at Union Gospel Mission still that were there this past weekend doing a mission trip. We had 17 go, and we got the complete to-do list done. And on top of that, they had a whole bunch of fun, so that's really what counts. So if you're watching from Union Gospel Mission Camp, we are excited that you're here. If you are new in the last 3 weeks, and what I say in the next few minutes offends you, please come back next week. I'll apologize now, and then hopefully at the end you'll realize I'm not meaning to be offensive, okay? How many of y'all jump rope when you were growing up? A couple of you? Right? Yeah, I can't even do it, right? How many of you like saying rhymes or poems while you jumped rope? A couple of you? All right, so if you know it, like, sing along with me. Girls, let me see. Here we go. Boys are rotten, made out of cotton. Right? Girls are dandy, made out of candy. You don't know that one? Boys go to Jupiter to get more? Yeah, stupider, she says. Girls go to college to get more. See, you do know it. Don't make me up here stand like this. Okay. So first time in 18 years I've stand up and poked fun at the other, like at a specific boy versus girl. Well, I'm going to keep doing it, okay? Because this whole like boy versus girl thing has been going on for a long time. Three boys are in a schoolyard. Genie comes down and says, I'll grant you one wish each. First boy says, I want to be 10 times smarter. Poof, says the genie, you're 10 times smarter. Second boy says, oh, wow. I want to be 100 times smarter. Poof, you're 100 times smarter. Right? So the third boy, really thinking he's wise, he's like, I want to be 1,000 times smarter. Poof, you're a girl. Why are all the blonde jokes one-liners so the boys can remember them? All three of these jokes were in a 1993 article in the LA Times about, you know, picking on boys with jokes, because this whole, like, battle between the sexes has been going on for millennia, all right? And I'm going to show you. Do not pre-think your answers. Just shout out the first thing you think of. Your answers are either going to be boys or girls, okay? I'm going to ask you a series of questions. You're going to either say boys or girls. If you're sitting next to somebody who says something different than you, you cannot hit them, okay? Husbands, don't worry what your wives say. Wives, don't worry what your husbands say. Sisters, don't worry what your brothers say. It's just really quick, rapid fire. So, for example, like, I would say something along the lines are, who's taller? And you'd have to either yell out boys or girls. Just like that, okay? So who's taller?
Boys.
Oh, wow. That was almost okay. All right, let's have some fun with this. Who's stronger, boys or girls?
Boys.
Is there nobody that says girls? Y'all got to say it a little bit louder, okay? Got to say it a little bit louder. All right, here we go. Rapid fire. Who's smarter, boys or girls?
Girls.
Who's better leaders?
Girls.
Who's more nurturing?
Girls.
Who's more athletic?
Boys.
Who do you want on your rugby team?
Boys.
Who do you want on your trivia team?
Girls.
Who are more important today?
Girls.
Who were more important in Jesus' day?
Boys.
Who today looks and acts more like Jesus?
Girls.
Oh, wow. Who in the pages of Scripture were their voices more listened to? Yeah, some of y'all are like, boys. In the pages of Scripture, whose actions should have been followed more, boys or girls? The debate about the superiority of the sexes has been going on for millennia. Today, I start off like this, not to offend, but for two reasons. The first is, as you've already heard, Miss Thea is getting baptized today. Woohoo! We are so excited for that, Miss Thea. Miss Thea just turned 8 years old and has been talking to me about baptism for quite a while. So it's about time we fill up that tank and baptize you, right? Yeah, so because this young lady is going to get baptized, show a step of obedience and discipleship, I want to say, do what the girl does. Yeah, we can say amen to that, okay? That's the first reason. Second reason is this. In our text for today, our biblical text for today, my whole take-home point is this. Do what the girls do. Do what the girls do. All right? I got your attention? Anybody that was offended, come back. Come back right here. Let me pray, and then let's see what happens. Lord God, thank you that you made us all in your image. Thank you that for all of us, you looked at us and said, not only you're good, but those are very good. I thank you that you love us each unconditionally, exactly how you've made us, exactly how you've hardwired us, exactly how you made our hearts to beat. I thank you for that. Lord, this morning, as we dive into your scripture, help us to see what you want us to see. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 24. If you don't have a Bible, maybe on your phone or in the maroon books under the seats in front of you. Luke 24. Now get this, we're in week 17 of a 52-week sermon series. Whoo, some of you, we got one like, whoa. That's a long series, right? It's a full year. And why we're doing that is because we are trying to read the Bible in a year. A lot of people are reading it through in this this translation. It has a Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm, and a Proverb each day, so it's not your standard Genesis through Revelation. And some people are reading it on their Bible app. What we're doing is each day there's four texts, and as Cindy said, on Sunday, the person preaching gets to choose which of those texts that land on that day they get to preach from. They can use all four, or three, or two, or one, or like I'm going to do today, just a part of one. Today I'll be preaching from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12, which is the traditional passage we preach on the Sunday of Easter. It's the passage where the angel says he is risen, and then all the people in the church say,
he is risen.
Right, they say, he is risen.
He is risen.
Y'all didn't think you'd have to do that again until next year, huh? Fantastic. I'd like to invite up Elena, who is going to read that passage.
Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered when he had said this, so they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened.
Thank you. Do what the girls did. Amen? Let's dunk Thea and go home. Yes? Do what the girls did. Not quite yet, huh, Thea? I want to unpack this passage through the lens of boys versus girls, but with an ongoing conversation with me and Thea this morning, because this kind of is a baptismal charge, if you will. Thea, this is what I'm going to tell you to do kind of from here on out. Sound good? Perfect. First thing I'm going to tell you, do what the girls did. If you remember nothing else from today, remember that, okay? Because in our story, the women went to the tomb. The men didn't. Except Peter, right? The women believed what Jesus had said. The men didn't. Not even Peter. After that, the women told everyone about what had happened, and the men didn't. Not even Peter, right? So, Thea, do what the girls did, right? The first thing I'm going to encourage you to do as you're getting baptized today, as you're taking the step of obedience, is to go. Right? As the girls in the story, they went. That kind of means like seek after Jesus. Try and find Jesus. Keep looking for Jesus. Someday when you are a grandma, think about that, Othea's grandma. Right? Someday when you are a grandma, I hope your grandkids say, Grandma Thea is always talking about looking for Jesus and finding Jesus and searching for Jesus. I hope they say that about you. And I hope they say that because in our passage, the women went. Verse 1, but very early the next morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. Now, we could ask the question, why did they go? Well, the text tells us they were taking the spices they had prepared, so a lot of people think, oh, it must have been a woman's job to anoint the body with the spices. Must have been. I mean, you look at the two verses right before chapter 22 hits, those two verses are Friday night, and it talks about after the crucifixion, the women went home and immediately started preparing the spices, and by the time they got done, it was too late to take them back because it was the Sabbath, so they rested, and then on this day, they get up and they go to take the spices. Because that's what women did, right? Not necessarily. Don't be fooled by that, okay? In our biblical accounts, we actually see the opposite take place. We saw men initially take Jesus' body down and anoint Jesus with 75 pounds of myrrh and other oils and spices. So perhaps it wasn't just the women went because it was women's work. I don't think that was the case. Now, maybe the women went because they like pretty smells. You like pretty smells, Thea? Yeah, you ever been in your, I'm not going to say your brother's room. You ever been in a locker room or a boy's bathroom? No, don't ever go in there because it's stanky. Okay, so maybe the girls in our story wanted to make sure that Jesus' body didn't stink. In the hot Middle East desert, you give it a day or two and the bodies will eventually start smelling bad. So maybe they were doing that to take care of Jesus like this. Now, here's another reason. Maybe they could have gone. Maybe they went because they knew Jesus was going to be resurrected. I mean, he had said it a couple of times. But had they gone expecting that, they probably wouldn't have taken spices to anoint him, right? They were expecting him to be dead. For whatever reason, the girls went. So, Thea, you go, okay? In our story, the boys didn't. I mean, not at first, and if you count Peter, he did eventually, but he was the only one. So the question comes, why didn't the boys go? We don't know the answer for sure, but we can think of some things. Maybe they figured that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had already anointed Jesus on Friday night, so why should they go and anoint him again? Possibly. Maybe it's because their hopes and dreams had been crushed on that Friday night. They had given up everything to follow Jesus, and they didn't want to hurt anymore. They didn't want to cry. You know, tough guys, we don't cry, right? Maybe that's why they didn't want to go. Maybe they didn't want to go because they didn't want to be seen out in public because they would be recognized as Jesus followers and they would have fear that they would have the same fate as Jesus. We don't know why the men didn't go. Bottom line, they didn't. But the women did. So, Miss Thea, do what the women did. Okay? Do what the girls did. Thea, there's going to be times in your life, you can't really fathom it right now, but where looking for Jesus is hard. We're trying to find him is hard. It's going to seem like, well, where'd he go? Is he pretty quiet? Like, and you're going to wonder, is he even there anymore? Keep searching, okay? You'll have those times, and those times are okay. But keep searching. Do what these girls did in the story. Seek, still go. Jesus said those who seek will find. And who knows, maybe he'll surprise you in the way he shows up. He kind of did in this story. So what does that look like for you? Well, keep praying every day. I know you do that, okay? Keep reading your Bible with your parents and with your brothers and, you know, never stop trying to find Jesus. So the girls in our story, they went, you go too. Got it? Thumbs up? Perfect. She's got that one. That's first thing. Second thing I want to challenge you to, Miss Thea, is to believe. Believe what Jesus said. Believe who he said he was. Believe that he would do what he said he was going to do. The girls in our story believed. The boys didn't. Right? Verses 2 through 8, they found a stone, that the stone had been rolled away. So they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzling, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified, bowed with their faces to the ground. And the men asked, why are you looking amongst the dead for someone who's alive? He isn't here, he is risen. Oh, pretty good. I know it's not Easter, so you're not on your... Yeah, okay. He isn't here. He is risen. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on a third day. Then they remembered that he had said this, right? The women believed. And we could say, well, of course they believed. They saw the empty tomb. They saw the linens that Jesus had been wrapped in. They saw two angels. Whoa, of course, if the men had seen that, they would have believed. The emphasis in this part isn't that the women saw the angels, it's that they remembered. Verse 6, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee. And what did he tell you back in Galilee? Verse 7, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise on the third day. Was Jesus really that direct? Was he really that, like, did he say it that clearly? Luke chapter 9, back in Galilee, Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things. He'll be rejected by the elders and leading priests and the teachers of religious law. He'll be killed, but on the third day, he'll be raised from the dead. Huh. Sounds pretty straightforward, doesn't it? So the angels say, remember that. And that's when the light bulb went on for them. Verse 8 of our passage in Luke 24, then they remembered that he had said this. And this wasn't just some random remembering like, oh, yeah, that was a funny joke a while back. I kind of remember it. Don't know the punchline. This was a very active remembering. In the Greek, this word remembering is actually in the middle voice, which means it's very personal. It's deeply personal, and you're highly involved. So essentially, the women got together. They put their heads together like women can do. Somebody say amen. Amen, right? And they're like, well, let's remember what happened. This is purposeful. This is active. Let's rethink through everything. Every detail is deeply and dearly personal. Guys, girls are good at remembering things, huh? They're like, half of you are like, don't say anything. Don't say anything. They can remember what you ate for breakfast, which wasn't all that long ago, what you did yesterday, what you did a week ago, what you did a year ago. They can remember what you said 10 years ago. When the girls were very purposeful in remembering, when they thought through what the angel was saying and what Jesus had said, that's when they believed. It was in the remembering that they believed. So, Miss Thea, believe what Jesus says. When he says he's going to do something, believe it. All right? Because in our story, the girls did, but the boys didn't. See this in verse 11. It says this. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. Now, this wasn't just, whatever. This was a very purposeful and active unbelief. That's the Greek language talks about that. This was, it literally means to refuse to be persuaded by God. So it wasn't just, that's kind of kooky. They were purposely saying, I am not going to believe. Now, why? A lot of people think it's because the people who were telling them the stories were women. And in a very patriarchal, male-dominated society, women were the wrong messengers to bring that story back. That's what a lot of scholars think, but I disagree. I disagree because the women mentioned in our story today, listen to their names. This is verse 10. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. Earlier on in this gospel, in Luke chapter 8, there's a section that talks about the closest of circles. You got Peter, James, and John, and then you got the 12, and then you got the close circle that followed Jesus just about everywhere. And you can see there who Jesus lists. Listen to this. Actually, it's not Jesus, it's the author. Soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many other women who were contributing their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. Did you catch the two names that were in both lists? Mary Magdalene and Joanna. These women would have been believable to the disciples. They would have walked with the disciples closely. They would have supported the disciples. They would have encouraged Jesus and the disciples. They would have been believable. So I don't think it was just that the women came back and it was women that told the story. What was it? Well, maybe it was the story. It says it sounded like nonsense. In the Greek, that means it sounded like nonsense, right? It's actually a medical term for the stories somebody tells when they have a high fever and they're experiencing delirium. Like, that's what it meant. So to the men, the story did sound kind of off. It did sound kind of made up. And one could argue, didn't the men hear the same thing that the women had heard throughout? I mean, didn't they? If the girls could remember, why can't they? Guys, this is kind of where you're like, Listen, I don't have an answer for that one. Because I think there's more going on than I have time to dissect today. Listen to this in Luke chapter 9, verse 43. It says, while everyone was marveling at everything he was doing, Jesus said to his disciples, listen to me and remember what I say. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies, pretty point blank. But they didn't know what he meant. Its significance was hidden from them. So they couldn't understand it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. I don't understand that, because guys always ask for directions. They always ask for clarification when something doesn't make sense. The meaning was hidden from them. Now, if that was just a one-time thing, we'll just brush it off. But it happened again in this past week's reading in Luke 18, verse 31 to 34. Jesus took his disciples aside, and he said, listen, we're going to Jerusalem, where all the predictions of the prophets concerning the Son of Man will come true. He'll be handed over to the Romans. He'll be mocked, treated shamefully, spit upon. They'll flog him with a whip and kill him. But on the third day, he will rise again. Again, very laid out for us 2,000 years later who know the story. But the text again says they didn't understand any of this. The significance of his words was hidden from them. And they failed to grasp what he was talking about. Maybe we shouldn't be so mean to the guys after all. There's probably more in here than I have time to unpack. I'm not ready to stand up here and say, well, the girls remembered because they're smarter than boys. I think there was something else, all right? For our story today, though, the girls believed. The boys didn't. Miss Thea, believe. Believe what Jesus says, who he is, what he does, and that it's true for you. Got it? Even if it sounds far-fetched, what does that sound like? Well, keep coming here because you're going to keep hearing stories about Jesus. Come here on Wednesday nights to First Club where people like Miss Johnson and others will tell you stories about Jesus. Keep listening to your parents and all the other believers, and you'll hear what he says so that you can choose to remember and continue to believe. Miss Thea, do what the girls did, okay? First they went, and then they believed. Finally, and this is right before your baptism, finally what I want to say to you is this. Do what the girls did, because they told. They told. They talked. They told the disciples what had happened. They told everyone else what had happened too. We see this in verse 8 and 9. Then they remembered that what he had said, so they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. In the Greek, it says all that had happened. And that Greek word all doesn't just mean that Sunday morning when they went and found an empty tomb. It means everything that they had experienced with Jesus. From the beginning of when he called them to the miracles he'd done, the healings he had done, to all of it, the times where they were challenged, the times they were encouraged, what they knew, understood, when their lives were changed, they told everybody all that they remembered. The girls told, but the boys didn't. I mean, even Peter. We see this is not his finest moment. Verse 12, however, Peter jumped up, ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. We have 2,000 years of hindsight, okay? So, yes, we do kind of chuckle like, really? Dude, you were one of the closest. I mean, you saw the empty tomb like the women did. You saw the linen wrappings like the women did. You may not have seen the angels, but yeah, he went home and he pondered. And he marveled. And at this point in the story, he stayed quiet. Now, he didn't always. He became the person with one of the biggest mouths that told as many people about Jesus as he could. But at this point in the story, he kept quiet. Why was that? Well, studies show that women speak about 20,000 words a day. And men, at best, speak 5,000 to 7,000. Okay, so that's a stretch for some people. 5,000 to 7,000. So maybe Peter had already used all his words. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe women just talk a lot more. When you see boys playing together, are they using a bunch of words or are they just grunting and throwing things? I know I'm stereotyping, okay? I know I am. But when girls play together, they're just talking and talking and talking. Thea, tell as many people as you can, as much of the story about Jesus as you can, as often as you can. Okay? Now, does this mean you need to call your friends and say, hey, I'd like to tell you the difference between substitutionary atonement and Christus Victor and the ransom theory? No. Does it mean you need to do a book report at school about communion as Eucharist versus communion as community versus communion as mystery? No. Not at this point. Okay? Wait till seminary to do that. And even then, it won't make sense. Okay? Thea, what I want you to do is tell as many people your experience as possible with Jesus. Tell them how when you're scared or when you're happy or when you're sad, you pray. Tell them how Jesus answers your prayers. Tell them how you like to sing to him. Tell as many people at school or gymnastics or summer camp about how you love Jesus. And frankly, you don't always even have to use words. The way you love people, and we get to experience that on a Sunday morning, because how many people do you run up to and tell them you're their best friend and you hug them on a Sunday morning? I think it's special because it's just me, right? But you... Don't tell me if she says the same thing to you. That's me, okay? You can love people and show them Jesus just by how you love them, okay? So tell people in your words and your actions. Do what the girls did. Go, believe, and tell. That's my challenge for you this morning. And I imagine each one of us needs to hear that challenge as well. Whether we were baptized 80 years ago or we haven't been baptized yet, that really is our call to go, believe, and tell. And let me just finish with this so that nobody leaves thinking I spent the morning bashing boys. Please don't leave thinking that. The boys in a biblical history or boys today. My point in all of this is that in our story, these girls did something that we have an example that we can follow. And if we follow them, if we go, if we believe, if we tell, then we're living out Miss Thea's baptismal vows and our vows to follow Christ as well. Okay, so in this specific story, all of us, whether we're male or female, do what the girls did. Can I get an amen for that? Go, believe, and tell. Now, typically when we baptize somebody, we will bring them up to the front. We'll ask them a couple of baptismal questions. But standing in front of people is terrifying, okay? Instead, we filmed Miss Thea answering those baptismal questions, but I happened to talk to her a little bit longer than just the simple five questions. And we were just going to show you the five questions, but there's no way with a video this cute that you could only watch the five questions. So